Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
All right, let's talk more about Thanksgiving. We just heard a lot from Somerville Mayor Joe Curtatone about what it's going to take to stay safe, what the pressures around Thanksgiving are, the decisions that remain to be made. This sits on us personally, too. I was looking at the weather this morning and thinking, I wonder if the weather is reflecting our collective mood on Thanksgiving right now. Are you sad? Are you worried about this week? Are you feeling restricted, agonizing about whether to be with loved ones despite public health guidance not to, or maybe having trouble thinking about how to have the conversation with loved ones because you're not going to do it? Or maybe you're finding joy and inspiration in your adaptations. I'd sure like to hear that. So join us, and we've got some guests to help us both commiserate, problem solve, celebrate. Call us 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can tweet us at Radio Boston. Now, we have two guests with us, our Meredith Goldstein, who runs the Boston Globe's Love Letters advice column and podcast, and Omar Ruiz, who is a licensed family therapist at Talk Think Thrive, a team of Newton Wellesley therapists. Welcome back to both of you, Meredith. Omar, great to have you back.
Hi.
Thank you so much.
And again, listeners, join this conversation. This is with you, 800-423-8255. So Meredith and Omar, I'm laughing because it seems like it was a lifetime ago, but we talked together at this time last year, and we were struggling with how to have difficult political conversations. We had no idea then what was coming now. Does this year feel much harder to you, Meredith?
Well, you know, what's interesting is now you can avoid those political conversations altogether. There are many good reasons to stay home. So that's the first. I mean, this is such a different year. It is mind-boggling to think about how different it is from last year. But now it is about feeling okay with not going and redefining what it means to care for loved ones. And, you know, I'm about to run a letter tomorrow in our Love Letters column from someone who is fighting with a spouse about letting the spouse's parents into their home for Thanksgiving. So it's also about negotiating with loved ones about who's allowed in and who should stay out. And, you know, thinking about what we were dealing with last year, it was important, but this is a whole new set of rules and problems.
Omar, are you hearing this? Obviously, without violating confidentiality, I don't mean to be disrespectful of your clients, but are you hearing in general from families that you talk to that this is a real source of difficulty and tension this year?
Definitely. In comparison to our conversation last year, things have completely shifted from not even thinking or wanting to discuss the recent election to just how do you coordinate to connect with families and friends just in this holiday season without the concern of contracting the virus.
And are you finding, Omar, that most people are going to make the decision not to be with loved ones outside their immediate household?
Yes. There are some couples who I've recently worked with in which you have the complete polar opposite sides. One in which they are completely fine with doing a Zoom Thanksgiving, while the other ones are saying, well, we've been socially isolated for so long that they have this need and desire just to be physically close to family members.
And Meredith, what about that social isolation and the letters and that you get and then, you know, the feedback that you get from readers? Are people feeling really lonely?
They are. And it doesn't have to be that they themselves are alone in a house. It could be that they live with a spouse or even children, but they are so longing for the people in their greater community. And I think it's forced a lot of people to, I think it's actually taken this long in some cases for us, you know, they feel deserving. Well, I've done it right for this many months, but now I want to break the rules for this holiday. And, you know, what I tell people is like, I have also seen great creativity in terms of how people connect. And that's what boosts me as a single person who lives alone. Like, I have a friend who sends me postcards. She lives in Cambridge. Like, she doesn't live far away from me. So this idea that my mail is more exciting than it's ever been, and there are these messages of love that actually feel very different and very fun. And certainly a lot of us have access to technology that we didn't even know how to use before. So it's learning how to feel good about that and to feel like that's enough. But I think for a lot of people, especially people who just want to give their grandkids a hug and people who live far away a hug, it's so difficult. And I heard a story this morning about a full airport and people just eating in the food court. And I thought, this isn't the answer. This isn't it.
So we are talking about Thanksgiving, adapting to this Thanksgiving in the age of coronavirus with Meredith Goldstein of the Boston Globe and Omar Ruiz, who is a licensed family therapist. You can join the conversation at 1-800-423-8255. Let's go to the phones. We've got Charles on the line from Chelmsford. Charles, go ahead.
Oh, hi, Tiziana. Thanks so much for taking the call. I just wanted to call in and say I actually think it's a little bit of a relief. We're not planning on traveling anywhere. My family of four is just staying at home, and we're actually going to start a new little tradition in our house with my little kids. And even though my loved ones are actually in a town right nearby within just a few minutes' drive, we decided that we're going to stay put. And it, to me, it takes a lot of the pressure and off of me determining, you know, if I should go, if I should not, how am I going to get there? So I just wanted to add my comment that I'm trying to look at it as a positive and do something new and different for it without having to feel pressured into traveling when I ought to be staying home.
Charles, thanks for bringing that note of positivity. And Omar, I'll turn to you. You know, we do hear, especially families where there's maybe some distance and you've got two different families to go to, we hear about the stress of shuttling and balancing family demands. Is there a reprieve of sorts in being able to stay home? And also, what's the flip side of that if staying home means staying home completely alone?
Well, what I would say is for some, there are going to be that notion, there's going to be that notion where the knowing that you can't or you're told to limit your travels based on the CDC recommendation, that in of itself is a great excuse to use to not visit family members. Because we also have to remember that just because it's the holiday season, not everybody has the greatest relationship of all times with their close family members or distant family members. So this is almost for some of relief. While others, because of the effects of the social isolation, they are looking for ways of how to convince their partners and their other family members to still continue their traditions. And we're now faced with how to, last year's conversation was how to navigate just the difficulty of political differences. Now we're navigating the difficulty of people's perception of a health crisis. And so either way, it's going to be a debate. And I would say for those who are needing a reprieve, this is the perfect reason for it. And it's not necessarily using facts, but more so speaking to the safety and concern of family members. While others, it's the need to just be connected as a human being.
You know, Meredith, we actually had a caller last week. I'm going to play him for you in a second. His name was Tommy. He was from Norwood, who was also, like this, the caller we just had, expressing a good deal of optimism that what is different can be a source of joy. Here he is.
20 years from now, we're going to remember this Thanksgiving because of how screwed up it was. And on top of that, not everybody is going enjoys Thanksgiving. You know, seeing their relatives that they might love and hate, hearing the same stories over and over again, eating the same food over and over again. This is going to be different and more memorable.
Are you hearing that, Meredith? Here, and let me put the phone number out just real quickly, 800-423-8255. We'll go back to phones in a minute. Are you hearing that from people who write into you? And are you hearing some interesting new traditions that you find kind of exciting?
Well, I actually just tweeted a literary event that's going to happen that night with a lot of writers who are single and are going to be available online, you know, reading their works. And I thought, what a cool new tradition, right, that you can log in. So I do think it's starting new traditions. And I also think I've heard a lot of people who are excited to watch a TV show they've been holding it, you know, to eat something they would never eat. And I experienced this with my own family with Passover this year, that we will never forget the Passover we had on Zoom. I mean, it will be iconic forever, right? Us figuring out how to do that in March and us pulling it off. And I think there are a lot of opportunities for new memories. And I would say that also for people who are very much alone in their houses, there's also great opportunity for kindness. I mean, there are many places where you can volunteer to make phone calls on holidays to people who need those calls. it's giving people a moment to have great empathy for people who might need attention. So I would always say to somebody who's feeling lonely, you're not the only one, and there are probably ways to reach out and share that time and to give of your time. And I think that can be memorable for people too. So certainly this is not the year we wanted, but there are so many ways to make it, stay with us forever.
800-423-8255 to share what you're doing this year, how you're thinking about Thanksgiving. Maybe you're still struggling with making the decision because there's pressure in the family to be together, even though public health guidance is not to. Call, with your thoughts or your questions. We've got Michaela on the line from Topsfield. Michaela, go ahead.
Hi, thank you. I'm calling. My husband and I are both veterinarians, and we typically work like the day after Thanksgiving and the weekend, and so around the holidays, the daycare is closed a lot, and so I have to rely on my parents, who are in their late 60s, for childcare. And we've decided as a family we're not having Thanksgiving, but I'm bringing my children down because the plan was for my parents to watch them the next couple days. And like, I'm pretty much still really conflicted about making this decision about whether I go down with my family or I don't work the next day. And I know that's a struggle that a lot of people have had with childcare.
So, when do you have to make the decision, Michaela?
Well, I have to work Friday, so by Thursday.
So let's ask Omar. Omar, do you have thoughts for Michaela?
I would say the first thing to do is to prioritize what is going to be most important to you. Is it going to be the safety for your parents, in the sense of, are your parents at an age and a health, within their health, are they at risk? And then second, in terms of your career and your responsibility in terms of your job, is this something that you're able to put off, or is it a priority to maintain those relationships? Normally when I am seeing couples who are having those type of conflicts, even if it's just we're deciding to visit family during the holiday or having to do something that might interfere with other responsibilities, I would say there's a 5-part. First is make sure that you make the decision sooner rather than later. Second is don't just stick to the facts, but more so stick to what the concerns are for either party. Because when you're just sticking to facts, it's going to be harder for people to hear that. Third is not to criticize others during that decision-making, but just to ask questions to be able to understand each other's side. So for instance, if you and your husband are, for whatever reason, having conflicts about whether or not to go, ask each other what are some of the conflicts or concerns around it, so that both of you are hearing each other, and as well as talking to your parents about it. The fourth is just admit that this is going to be difficult. This is one of those very unique situations where it's not just an issue around scheduling, but it's an issue around a pandemic and health crisis. And then last is to possibly think about alternatives or look for compromises within the situation. Meaning, are we going to be able to look onto our parents, or do we look onto close family and relatives, or just other alternatives that could be helpful in this situation? I'm hopeful that this is somewhat helpful to you.
So there is a list, Omar, I think, that you've just given us that can guide not only part of Michaela's decision making, but a whole bunch of other people who are trying still to decide what to do on Thursday. I'm also just thinking back to a call-in we did last week with Dr. Cassandra Pierre on Thanksgiving, where she talked about, we know what the public health guidance is, but also what's important to her is harm mitigation, right? And recognizing that if people are going to take steps to be with others, then make sure you stayed isolated for the 10 to 14 days beforehand. Make sure you have a coronavirus test, or the children do, within 72 hours and it's negative before you see an older adult. So I just remember Dr. Pierre reminding us of the safety steps one can and should take if one does decide that people outside of your household are going to be with you or your family over this weekend. Let's go back to the phones, 800-423-8255. We've got Erica on the line from Somerville. Erica, go ahead.
Christina.
Oh, I think we lost Erica. So Meredith, I'm going to come back to you. Meredith, is there advice that you found yourself repeatedly giving to people as they're struggling with this Thanksgiving set of decisions and frustrations?
I think feeling as though you're disappointing parents is really hard, or being a parent and feeling as though not being with your kids is the right answer, and really not punishing yourself for that. But I would also say that advice I'm giving a lot right now is we are learning in real time these questions, right? Questions about childcare, questions about testing, let's remember these lessons and think about it in terms of Christmas, because I was in Needham on Saturday and saw a testing site with a line that was wrapped around two blocks. And I thought, oh, well, now we know. Now we know that 3 days, 5 days before a holiday, everyone's going to need to get tested because they might even be driving one town over. So, you know, my thought is if Thanksgiving isn't exactly what you want it to be, maybe you're planning for a weekend in January. Maybe you're planning for something later where you can gather with someone safely. And I also think it's a really good time for employers to look at employees and say, what can we do, right, to make this, what shifts can you take? Because, you know, we're talking about people who have the privilege to stay home in many cases, and some people don't. So I think, you know, if that's something that employers can help with as well, to think about who needs to do what, I mean, this is a much better way to sustain mental health for as long as we possibly can during this time.
All right, we got Erica back, and I do want to grab her real quick. So Erica from Somerville, go ahead.
Hi, I think that this is a great opportunity to be creative, and my family and I, we are not gathering. We are staying separate this year for safety reasons, obviously, and I'm actually turning to my local community, my group of friends, and we are doing what's called a pie tour, where we are gathering outdoors, socially distanced, and we are each baking pies to try. And I think that this is a great opportunity for us to, you know, share in that. And so I'm really excited to do that with my group of friends.
Thanks for that, Erica. So, Omar, we're almost out of time here, but before we go, let me just ask you, are there other ways, like Erica is talking about, to build community? Does this have to be a time of isolation, even if we're getting a little mic noise there, even if we can't necessarily be together with the people that we normally would, and certainly not inside? Are there other ways to build community in this moment?
Certainly. One of some of the strategies that I've heard from some of the couples that they plan on doing is if they have family members who live close by, and especially where food is part of the tradition of this holiday, is to be able to still make the food and to be able to drop it off, of course, contactless, and then go over Zoom and then still eat shared dishes. So that way you have that shared experience. Of course, with everything going remotely, I think everybody has a full awareness of being able to try to do your best to experience those conversations or those gatherings online. Yes, it's not going to be the same, but the hope is that it will still connect everyone together.
All right. And that is Omar Ruiz, a licensed family therapist at Talk, Think, Thrive, and Meredith Goldstein of the Boston Globe's Love Letters advice column. Thanks to both of you.
Thanks.
Thank you.